This is tape two of the six tape series, Pulling Down Strongholds Through Prayer and Fasting. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material produced at Shiloh Place Ministries following the message. We'd like to encourage you, before entering into a fast, consult a physician. There are those who suffer with certain physical problems to whom fasting may be detrimental, so please, consult your physician.
Brothers, so now I feel good about myself? Not with a hook on it. Hooks hurt. I've had plenty of them in me. Anywhere you've got a hook in you, anybody can come along and grab that hook and you'll follow them anywhere they want you to take you to. And one who grabs it the most is the devil. He comes along and grabs the fish hooks where others have loved us with this hook on it. And so fasting has got to straighten out the hook. That's part of the reason behind it. Others. It's got to burn out this whole life of what do I get out of life? What do I get out of this ministry? What do I get out of this church? I just come here. I'm just never valued. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody ever pats me on the back. You need to do some fasting. Now, I used to live that way. When I was a pastor. I don't like living that way. Living that way is a life of misery. It's a life of always mad, always upset, always looking at yourself. It's the victim mentality, always living within yourself. What will bring you out of that is fasting is one of the promises of God. It'll bring us out of that self-oriented life and bring us into other-oriented life. I'm an ex-Salvation Army officer in the story well known of William Booth back in the 1870s and found in the Salvation Army, and he had a Salvation Army officer that wrote him and said, I'm ready to quit, just get me out of here, send another officer to this town and send him a telegram and send another officer to this town, I'm just giving up. William Booth sent him a one word answer. Others. Changed the man's life forever. He repented of being so self-oriented. Others. That's what a fast is all about. Others. Fasting, I love what Lee Brano says. Fasting burns out our selfishness. In fasting, we willingly submit to the cauldron of renunciation as we give up one of life's greatest pleasures. Fasting is the foundry in which we are purified. Its fires refine our faith. Its flames separate the base impurities from our true character in Christ. Its hot blasts purify our hearts. And then after the fast, we then cool into tempered Christians, strong with self-control. The dross and cinders of our lustful craving are skimmed off. Fasting produces a work of art, the tempered, selfless Christian that can be created through no other process of refinement. You see, in Ezekiel, that the whole sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, most people think it was homosexuality. No. Ezekiel, it says that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. She didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. What caused God to send fire and brimstone and burn up Sodom and Gomorrah? Just not concerned with others. Now, thank goodness we're in the New Testament today, or the church wouldn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. But the sin of Sodom was living their life for themselves. I have no need, fullness of bread, I've got all I need. An abundance of idleness. No reaching out to others. And so we need to realize part of the fast is to break this within us. How is my family, even my wife and kids, able to live a selfless life, having to live one half to a third of the time without their father, and then sometimes even when he's home, he's not home, if you know what I mean. He's so wrapped up in other people's pain, because even the family lives a fasted lifestyle. Even our children at times will fast. They don't like to always, but sometimes they'll do a fruit fast, just a little bit of grapes or something in the daytime. But it helps them to lay their life down. It helps them to send their dad out, not to sit home mad, but to send their dad. I'm sent out by my children. How many people you know in traveling ministries, children and wife pray over them and send the husband out? My children send me to you. I don't come of my own reconnaissance. I want to be home with my family. But my family sends me to you because as I'm able to meet their needs at home, then how can we share our dad with the world? Every week my daughter comes home with another broken and wounded little girl and brings them home to our house, and she said, this week, you're going to be home next week? I don't even remember the name. She wanted to bring someone home, and every week she's sharing her dad with these fatherless girls, and they come home. I don't try to get them saved. They come home, and I sit and talk to them and pray with them some, and I don't try to get them saved if they'll let me pray with them. But it's her way of sharing her dad with those that don't have a dad, a selfless living. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him take up and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What was the whole aspect of Jesus when he walked among the multitudes? That wherever he walked, he felt compassion for them, because every time he walked among the multitudes, what's he see? He sees them as distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. When you walk into a room, what do you see? I wonder who's valuing me here, you know? What if anybody's going to shake my hand? What if anybody's going to talk to me? Or do you come into a room looking at all the hurt and wounded? How can I speak a word of life in them? How can I speak a word of love there? That's why you'll see when even our whole team has been trained through fasting as well as taught, as soon as we come into a church, try to get to as many people as you can every meeting. Come into every service 20, 30 minutes early. Talk to people. Greet the people. Now, I can't get to everyone, especially first night. You got to come in. But what did I do even as soon as I came in here? As soon as I come in, trying to get to people you know. Spend a little bit of time, but it's all part of a fasting. When you live a fasted lifestyle, you just come to the end of the self here. Now, what will meet the needs of others? Now, where does that need to begin? Here? Or back in Conway, South Carolina? At home. See, if I can't meet the needs of my wife at home, I don't need to be out here trying to meet needs within people here. It begins at home and then flows out into the body of Christ. Do we see the distressed and downcast? You say, well, I can't do that. Well, we love because he first loved us. When we move into fasting beyond the strongholds and it begins to break some of the bonds in us, then we move into such a feeling love relationship with him that now we're able to reach out and bring love to others. I can't love either. I'm just a mean old captain of life. I don't like people. If y'all really want to know who Jack is, when Jack's at his best, I really don't like you. The last thing I want to do here is be in your presence, sitting here and talking to people. To me, what would be a whole lot nicer is just let me get right back to the beach, back on that fishing boat. It's safe on that fishing boat. I can handle 20-foot waves. I know how to handle the sea. I lived at sea. I grew up at sea. What I can't handle is some mean, rotten old snookering Christians that do everything to stick you in the back, that do everything to hurt you and rob you. I really don't like people. Now, that hasn't changed because I've gotten saved. That's not changed because I'm in ministry. That's who Jack Frost is. And if I don't live a life of fasting and prayer, guess what you see when I come out here? You see a representation of Jack Frost. Now, it is the stupidest thing. I just don't understand that guy. Why would he take someone like me that does not want to be around people, that just wants to live alone out at sea, why would he take someone like me and have me do what I do? My whole life is people. I'm on the phone when I'm home 3 and 4 hours a day with pastors all over the world talking to them about all their hurts and problems. Sometimes I just wish they'd just stop calling and wouldn't do that. That's when I pick my life back up. Yes, sir. But I know what God's called me to do. I know over the years I've found what I'm effective at in ministry. And it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. It's me spending time with people. Me talking to people one-on-one. And when I'm living a fasted lifestyle and my life is laid at the foot of the cross, there is nothing I'd rather do than spend time with people. You see? Because that's who Jack Frost is, as a spiritual man. Now, don't you have two of those guys too? Okay. And so my wife and kids can't afford to see the real Jack Frost. I told you the real Jack Frost that history knows. But there's another man. Yeah, that when I live a fasting lifestyle, he's the man that's seen 98% of the time. And people say, why do you fast so much? So I don't have to go to jail for murder. Because that's in me. So I don't have to go to jail for rape or sexual abuse, or because that's what's in me. And so I live a desperate man at the foot of the cross, live a life of fasting, and now many of those thoughts that used to be in my mind, those thoughts, and men know the thoughts I'm talking about, those thoughts you hope nobody ever knows that you think, I don't hardly think those thoughts anymore. I haven't had those type of dreams in over 5 years. But how could I do that? I can't do that. You see, I have to surrender my life just to this cauldron, this fire. I'm just burning and burning away these things of who Jack Frost used to be, to where when people see me, they see the Father, because the last thing I want them to see is who the real Jack Frost is. He still stands up once in a while. Just not out here. Home with the wife and kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. Home with the people that work for the ministry, yes. But see, fasting is what breaks the power of that thing. It brings those strongholds down. Number six motive, for your heart to turn towards home. Is this not the fast which I choose in verse 7? Not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, Captain Bligh, that knows how to rule his crews, and for some of you that haven't heard me speak before, I was a sea captain and didn't have big crews, but had boats of up to 120 foot in length. I captained and had crews of 6 people, and they called me Captain Bligh. I was the meanest and cruelest snake on the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast. And Captain Bligh, nobody is going to get to me. Nobody's going to hurt me. Nobody's going to get behind my wall. That's hiding myself behind walls of self-protection. Because I've been hurt so much by others. Everyone I've loved has hurt me. Everyone that's loved me has hurt me. People mean pain. Getting close to anyone means they're going to hurt you sooner or later. So keep everybody out here, but then you get married. And you keep those walls up. And is not fasting meant to bring us out from behind those walls? That means being real and open with our family, with our wife, with our kids. Not hiding it all down. Not controlling every situation, because every time you move into a level of control, you've now got a wall up between you and another person. How can you have intimacy with someone you're trying to control? Now, my issues were dominant, aggressive, outward control. And I like outward aggressive controllers much better than I like passive controllers. At least I know what I'm getting with an outward aggressive controller. I mean, it's in your face and I know what I got. But those little sneaky snakes, I mean, those little passive ones that act so righteous, that act so Christ-like, you know. But yet inside, they're just so sneaky. I mean, they're just kind of, boy, those things drive me nuts. Because they done manipulated you, and you look back about it the next day or when you're laying in, I can't believe what she did to me. That was my wife. But see, you can't live with an aggressive controller in the house without becoming a passive controller in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And so here we had two of those going on, and now God's coming in and beginning to break my heart. And boy, man, God's got her number on control now. I mean, God, she can't do a thing and not come back and repent hardly now. Now, she was so sneaky, she couldn't see it herself. But see, it's all a wall that goes up. And what's God say fasting will do? It'll bring it down. Fasting is meant to break every fear within inside of us of being open and real. Every fear from a man allowing his emotions to show forth from his wife and kids. Every way we're afraid to love because love's always hurt us. Every way we're afraid to receive others' love. This is meant to come down. And only fasting, I know, can do that. He goes on and says in 1 John 1:5-6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. I find it very interesting that right here in this verse, the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin isn't just involved with the blood of Jesus. It's involved in how much truth do we walk in with others. You see that in there with them? Cleansing of sin has to do with whether we're practicing truth every day. Now, is this truth? No, I'm hiding myself. That's darkness. It's walls of self-protection. It's not truth. We are either practicing truth. Truth is something we practice. It's something we do. We are either walking in truth, living an open, transparent life. Here's my weaknesses. Here's my faults. Or we're hiding. If you knew who I really was, you'd reject me. No. You see, we either walk in the light or we walk in the dark. We practice truth or we practice deception. And so do we allow people into our life? Do we allow people to come in, especially the wife and children? Or do we withhold ourselves, afraid they'll throw me away, they'll hurt me and reject me, everybody else has in the past? It all comes down. Are you able to love, give love, receive love? I couldn't do it for years. I didn't know how. I'd been too hurt and wounded. And I began to read through Isaiah 58, and I began to see this. God, what's it going to take? I've been through all types of healing ministry. I've had counseling. Anything I can do to walk through healing of this. And I began to see, it's through fasting. It's through fasting. These walls and strongholds come down to where you can move into right relationship with your wife. You can move into right relationship with your children. And so for many years, I walked in ministry, but I didn't know how to minister to my family. But it was through fasting. As in 1991, I moved to the beach, and I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to receive love. I'd been hurt so much, such a spirit of rejection. And we had a good marriage, a committed marriage, but I didn't know how to be a father. And since then, I've learned you can't be a father till you've been a son. You know, the whole Father loves you teaching or restoring the Father's love. But then I began to fast, all right? I've got more time on my hands than I ever had the first 3 years of ministry. There wasn't hardly any ministry. And I told Trisha, I began to see in the Bible, and we didn't have room to talk about this, I thought about it, where three times a year the men went up for a week, went up to the temple of God, and they separated themselves from everything, separated themselves for work. And they went up, and three times a year they'd spend a week at the temple in the celebration. And I told Trish, you know, I'd like to fast a week, three times a year, and just go into solitude for 5 days. She said, well, try it once. So I went, and for 5 days I came home a different man. And she said, why don't you go again? And I go, and for 5 days I would go crazy. And I'm not going to get into what I do in that 5 days until later on I'll get into it. But in that 5 days, God would meet with me. It usually take about the fourth day, sometimes the fifth day, and God would meet with me and begin to deal with my heart, begin to break my heart, begin to show me. In those fasts, I can never fast without every time the Father turning my heart towards home. Every time I fast. I found a man's relationship with God is directly related to his relationship with his wife and children. Every time. Every time I pursue the Father, He has me pursue my wife. Because we seem to reap from the Father what we sow in our own family. And so He began to show me how to love. I didn't know how, and I had to come to the place. Literally, I resigned years ago. I resigned being a husband. I just said, I quit. I can't do this. I don't know how to love. I resigned as a father. All I do is mess everything up. Captain Bly, every time I try, I'm back in my own strength and power. All I've got is Captain Bly skills. It just hurts people. So during the season of fasting, God just says, why don't you just quit? I said, boy, I'd like to. And so He had me resign one time. I was in a fast up on Lake Marion and was alone, and I often combined fasting with solitude and would go for 4 or 5 days and was in a fast for 5 days, and 11 o'clock at night, my eyes wide open. I know, okay, it's time to get up. And I go out and sit in front of the fireplace and just sitting there and, okay, what do you got? What do you got? The presence of God came, I think it was 1993, came. Sometimes in a fast, He'll move you into a womb. And it was like I went right back into my mother's womb, and He just came and He just wrapped Himself about me. And I was there crying out, God, I knew He was wanting to take me to new levels with my family. I didn't know how to enter in. I didn't know how to move into that. I didn't know how to open my heart. I was still so guarded. I was still so serious. 11 hours. I cried like a little child. 11 hours, I couldn't hardly get out of the chair, except to put more wood on the fire because the heat wasn't very good. And 11 hours, I just wept and wept and wept. Remembered it was the fourth day of the fast. I got home after that 5 days, and Tricia said, what has happened here? When I quit, I want you to know I'm not your husband anymore. I just resigned, and during that time, I just resigned as a dad and as a father and a husband, and I just started saying, Lord, You love my wife through me. All I do is hurt her. And so I just began doing whatever Jesus would do, that's what I'll do. And I began to see ministry begin to go forth to my wife and my kids, and we've been flowing up into that point in time pretty much in power ministry. And it went on for about another year. But what I started seeing was, as I started seeing how to minister to my wife and children, how to pray over them, and up until that point, I didn't even know how to pray over my wife. We couldn't hardly even pray in the same room together. We did pray some together, but it was always awkward. Now it just became natural where we begin to sit in there and pray over. And to sit down and pray over her healing prayers, that was awkward. But you know what I could do? I could pray over a woman's healing prayers. Why couldn't I do it with my own wife? Trying to draw attention to myself. Need to be accepted. Need to be praised and valued by others. And God says in that fast, before you can go on any further with me or with ministry, you're going to have to learn how to minister to your wife in the same way. So I started learning how to pray over my wife, minister to my children, pray over my children. And a whole new anointing hit the ministry that's been on the ministry now about 2.5 years. And I started being able to see into people's lives, whether men or women. I started being able to, I don't know if we may have done some of that here last time. I've never really demonstrated it, but I can pull a person out that I've never seen or met, and I can sit there and hold their hand for a minute, and I can tell them their life story, tell them things about their life. People wonder, how do you do that? I started doing it with my wife and kids. When I started ministering to my wife and children at home, then it increased the ability to minister healing to the people within the church. But where did that begin? That 11 hours sitting in Father's, only way I could describe it was a womb is what it's like. Just in the presence. Just asking God to touch me. You see, one of the chief motives behind the fast needs to be, I'm not satisfied with where I am. Father, I want to be so humbled. I want to be so brought into your presence that the first thing it overflows to is to my wife and to my children. Let's look at some of the other motives. What will happen, not other motives, what will happen when we line up with God's motives, the next chapter, chapter 3, when we line up with God's motives, what will we begin to see take place? These are some of the rewards or blessings that God has promised. And we'll just pick up where we left off at in Isaiah 58. We left off at verse 7 and start at verse 8. When you line up with God's motives, I like that this verse 8 starts with then. You line up with those six motives in verses 6 and 7. Then, this is what you can believe to take place. Then your light will break out like the dawn. Your recovery or your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he'll say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from the midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you'll raise up the age-old foundations, and you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. I like what Derek Prince said. I personally believe that there are some things that are in the will of God. God wants us to have them, but we will never attain them unless we combine fasting with prayer. Now let's see some of the promises that God has said will happen in your life. It's very important. We're going to look at this later, but I'll say it right now. When you enter into the fast, you always look to the reward. I thought you said look to God. You look to God, yes. Primary. But in every fast, he said to you, he made the promise, when you do it for these reasons, then you can expect this to happen. And I go into every fast with a spirit of expectation and excitement. Because you better, because you're going, as soon as you enter into the fast, it's dying time. You do know that fasting is death time. Fasting is not light time. When you go into a fast, get ready to die for about a week or two or three. But then after the fast, here's what's going to happen. The results of a godly motivated fast are then your light will break out like the dawn. You say you're going in a 5-day fast? Remember, the darkest hour is before the dawn. Okay. 5 days perhaps of darkness. But then your light will break out like the dawn. There may be dark circumstances all around you, but when you've moved into a fast, distresses, troubles, they're no longer going to overcome you. You're going to begin to rise above them. My whole life is a life of darkness all about me. I live and dwell in darkness. Got on the plane in June in New York, getting ready to fly over to Warsaw, Poland. Had fasted 7 days prior to going over to do the pastor conferences. Got on the plane on the runway and blew a hydraulic pump right on the runway. Well, we're going to take it over for an hour, and it's going to take about an hour to change the hydraulic pump, and everybody stay on the plane. And my wife hadn't fasted that week prior to it with me. But I'd fasted the week before I was going to be speaking. We pull over there, and they change the hydraulic pump, and they come back on, and something's not right. When we change the hydraulic pump, all the lights on the dash, warning lights went off, and we got warning lights everywhere. My wife is begging to get off that plane. Begging. People are panicking. They're not even letting us off the plane. And I'm just laying back there just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my light will shine like the darkness. Because I've memorized these verses. My light will shine forth every gloom. There is no need to fear. I said, we think we got it right. We're going to crank the engines up. And they crank the engine up and the whole power shut down. Every light, every little thing in there 5 hours we sat on there, and we know every travel person tells you do not get on any plane that's having problems, especially one that's flying across the Atlantic Ocean. My wife is begging us, and she's saying, are you sure? Nothing but peace. We have got to be there. The conference starts within hours after us getting off the plane. We're already 5 hours late. We've got to be there. Nothing but peace. Almost everyone in the plane panicking. They finally let a number off. But the whole thing, amidst all the darkness, was nothing but light. Got on the plane, flew on over, got into Warsaw, and the plane on the door wouldn't open. It took them 20 minutes to get the plane open on the door open on the plane. You know, devil didn't want us there, but the conferences were awesome, just awesome. But see, even in the midst of darkness, there's going to be light within your life if you live a lifestyle of fasting. It's going to be around you. Darkness is coming. It's going to get worse. If you've read the book, The Final Quest, by Rick Joyner, man, the hordes of hell are being released on the earth. Darkness is coming. And I like light better than darkness. I've dwelt in darkness enough. So I position my life. We keep going back to that little phrase. I position my life in such a way that I can live a life of daily miracles. What that involves is a life of self-denial. Out of duty, out of law? No. No. I've got liberty in all things. Just not all things are profitable. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the greatest adventure of my life. The darker it is, the more fun it is. The greater the adventure it is. And my wife and I have gone through some things in the past month that even 3 or 4 years ago would have just devastated us. And it's just drawing us together. We were laughing about it. Just laughing. And just excited. Just what God's going to do through this one. What God's going to do through this thing. Because light springs forth in your life even amidst all the darkness that can be around us. It's a promise in that. Here's what's coming at the end times. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you'll see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. Now that's promised to those that will walk in light, and light comes forth through fasting and prayer. Went to Africa several years back, and I knew this isn't going to be a good trip. All the warning signal signs were not good, and so sure enough, went into a week of fasting prior to the trip. My traveling companion did not. We went into the week of fasting. I had to do pastor conferences back in the bush of Ghana, West Africa. And first thing, we get to the airport at midnight in Ghana, in Accra, or got in at 10 o'clock at night, and customs waylays us and waylays us for 3 hours, and we know we've got a driver that's driven 200 miles from the bush. We've got him out there waiting on us, and we didn't get off the plane because we got taken into custody by customs. And 3 hours, they didn't let us go. They finally let us go, and we walk out after midnight, outside the airport, and nobody's there. The guy turned around and drove back the 200 miles. And you know, where do we go? Where do we go from here? You're mobbed by all the street children trying to get you to give them money, and the street kids, and mobbed by every taxi driver knowing, trying to get in your wallet or your pocket. And the guy with me is in total panic. Just calm down. We flew on African Airways to save money, and we hadn't had anything to eat or drink in about 7 or 8 hours because of some of the things that were served there. But we said, take us to a motel. And they took us to a motel, an American motel, and they wanted like $80, and I wouldn't pay it. I just refused to pay it. And take me to a locals motel. We went to a locals motel, and it was $15. And boy, when we got out of that cab, and And they took us up there, and it was a bar and all this music. Even the music stopped, and watched this big, tall, white guy, you know, get out and go into this local motel. And we go up there, and finally got a room, and they had to barricade it in. One knee, lock on the door, and the guy with me is in total fear and panic, barricading the door, barricading the windows that were broken out in the back, you know. To make a long story short, it was 44 hours. We went with nothing to eat and no drink before we ended up back in the jungle, and one crisis after another, after another, after another, and finally having to rent a cab to take us back up in the jungle and pay him a fortune to take us back. We finally pulled in where we were heading 44 hours later, totally exhausted, hadn't slept for 44 hours. Nice time of fasting, you know. Hadn't eaten, hadn't anything, but it was total peace. The guy with me in total panic. But see, when you develop the lifestyle of fasting, believing, and this is part of it, if you fast, light is going to come in your darkness. Light is going to break forth. That in the midst of darkness, light's going to come. We had glorious meetings over there, and many, many got saved, and a lot of the pastors got ministered to, and yet the whole time, the guy with me just in terror and panic. See, fasting prepares your heart for whatever darkness may come. So that your recovery will bring forth speedily in the verses we read. In other words, your healing will spring forth speedily. In Hebrew, recovery means to make whole, to restore to soundness and health. Whether it be the bruises of sin or whether it be a physical sickness, and we've got a whole chapter on how fasting affects your body physically and the healing that it will bring towards you. Of course, Daniel fasting, just eating fruits and vegetables, in Daniel in chapter 1, just totally changed the complexion of his life, and how fasting will just 10 days of even a Daniel fast will change your countenance and bring forth a glory, bring forth wisdom, changes the way you feel physically about yourself. Daniel fast is just fruits and vegetables and water. And we're not going to spend much time there, but that's one of the rewards expected. Every time I fast, I know healing's coming to my body. I was diagnosed in 1984 with rheumatoid arthritis of the spine. They said there is no way that we can do anything about it. You'll be in a wheelchair by the time you're 40. I'm 45 right now. I have a little bit of lower back problem, but one thing I don't have is there's no arthritis left in my body anywhere. They cannot find it. They can't explain it. When I found out that and I knew fasting will help heal your body, I started fasting and praying. I waited 2 years for healing to manifest, but I believed for it, and every time I fasted, my health is going to spring forth. My health is going to spring forth. Now, I didn't understand fasting then, but I started getting more deeply in fasting 7-8 years ago when I had chronic fatigue syndrome. Totally, totally exhausted. And then I started moving into nutritional fasting, which fortifies the immune system, which we'll be talking about that probably Saturday. How to move into a healing fast that will just transform your body supernaturally through just refortifying your immune system. And went through 2 years of that, fasting several times a month, fasting at least 3 to 5 days a month to refortify and rebuild my immune system, fasting 10 days a year, twice a year to rebuild the immune system, and within 2 years, totally healed of chronic fatigue syndrome. And my adrenal glands had shut down from the lifestyle I had been living, and that's been completely restored. And we're going to be looking at that in the whole chapter and how fasting can totally rebuild your health. Now, it may be supernatural or it may just be nutritional fasting. I'll take a little of both. That can rebuild your whole immune system. Your righteousness will go forth before you. In other words, fasting will so impact your life that your reputation will go before you. Fasting sets our heart in such right place with God and with men. As we learn, what fasting do is we learn to humble ourselves. It takes us into seeking to meet the needs of others. And now, literally, the Lord becomes a shield and a favor all about you. You're just encompassed about with a shield of favor. My reputation pretty much goes before me everywhere I go. I've gotten, just this week alone, at least 3 calls from overseas, letters or email or calls from overseas from people that have never heard of me. One man I got an email from yesterday from Poland, a missionary from, I didn't even know the town, saying, somebody just gave me your manual on healing the wounded heart, and it has transformed my life. He said, I'm not even the same, just your reputation going before you. And call from a missionary society in London, got a hold of the same manual. We want you to come and teach conferences all over England and Eastern Europe because this thing has so impacted us. And got a hold of a few tapes. A man in Gdansk, Poland, got a hold of one tape. Man, I want you to come teach conferences. Now, it's just not a matter of me being a good teacher. It's a matter of a lifestyle of fasting and believing for the rewards. God, I believe everywhere I go that my righteousness will go before me. Every time I fast, I know this is going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm fasting for Him to humble myself and to worship Him, but I know the result. He's promised it. He's promised it. So every time I fast, favor of God's coming. Favor of God's coming. Every time favor of God comes, favor of man comes. Favor of man comes. Every time favor of man comes and favor of God comes, accusers come. Accusers come. So now I got to fast more like David did, so I humble myself and I don't walk in bitterness and resentment. See, it's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle that I'm giving myself to pursuing the Lord. I'm giving myself to knowing Him so that others might know Him through me. And then the glory of the Lord will become your rear guard. Man, I need angels coming behind me too. And that's Proverbs 2, 10 and 12. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to you and your soul, and discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the day of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. That literally God will station with you angels to guard over you that are named discretion and understanding. Derek Prince was preaching one meeting and a man said, man, I saw two angels standing right there. One right behind you on your right side, one right behind you on your left side. They were 8 foot tall. And he'd been told that several times before. And he finally, during a time of fasting, he asked God, God, what are those angels? Why are they there? He said, one of them's named discretion and one of them's named understanding. And they're there to guard your rear door. And fasting says that literally the enemy won't be able to sneak up on me. With the things I've learned and the things I know, it's hard for him to come and direct at me today. But I guarantee you, he can still come in and blindside you one time. And so the need for fasting, so that we've prepared our rear guard, we've prepared to walk in a deeper level of discretion and understanding, and believe for it. Every time I fast, I believe, man, those angels are just getting geared up. They're there with me. Discretion and understanding are there to where I can't be blindsided because I know it's coming. I know He's going to try to come in somewhere. Oh, I like this one. He says, when I fast, then you will call and the Lord will answer. Well, I appreciate that one. I've done a lot of calling in the past and there's no answers, if you know what I mean. Faith in you and chase off unbelief, and there's going to be such a realization for the impossible, such a realization for miracles to occur, that during a fast, He's going to be there at the least little need. He's there when I call. And that's what He talked about in the scripture we read earlier, how that there's just some things that couldn't cast out without prayer and fasting. He says, you only need a mustard seed of faith. So as soon as I know that I'm living this lifestyle of fasting, I'm just confident that when I call, when I'm in need, He's going to be right there. Always. Right there. And I believe for it because it's a reward to fasting. Rightly, godly, motivated fasting. You'll cry out and He'll say, here I am. Fasting brings a renewed sense of the presence of God. Now during the fast, and it usually takes about the fifth day, and we'll go over fasting and all the pains and the things, but the first 4 days are misery.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.